So I went on a little rant on Sunday about the local church. And I said, I'll share more of that. And so I am. I'm going to share more of that. I got to get this off my chest. I got to get this out of my heart. You know, one of the major themes of the New Testament and your walk with the Lord is that it's a community project, if I can put it that way. It's not something that you do. Your walk with the Lord, your devotion to the Lord, is not something that you do anonymously. It's not something that you do in isolation. Your walk with the you're not a lone ranger as a Christian. You do not live the Christian life independent of other people, self-sufficient. Being a believer is not about being a consumer. It's not just Jesus and me. That's not a biblical picture of what Christianity is. Sometimes we hear people say, well, I don't need to go to church to worship. I can worship God anywhere. And that's true. You can. You can worship God anywhere. You can worship God anytime. But to be unattached from a Bible-believing local church is an absolute distortion of the Christian life. And that's the bottom line. The Bible uses, I think, four main pictures to show us we are not created to be alone. Neither are we recreated in Christ to be alone. There are pictures in the Bible that give the idea that the Christian life cannot be lived outside of an essential community like a local church. This is a burden of my heart. It really has built over some time because I see this casualness toward the local church. And someone gave testimony, I think it was Brother Pedro, a week or two ago, about guys that he meets in this little Christian restaurant or bake shop or whatever. And they're into the Word of God, and they gather there, and they talk about the Bible, but they aren't connected with a local church. Well, I'm telling you, that's just wrong. That's just plain wrong. I'm glad that they're interested in the things of the Lord. I'm glad that they're into God's Word. But what are some of the things that come to mind as far as Bible pictures of the local church? What are some of the metaphors that you find in the New Testament? Name them. Yeah. Okay, a body. Okay, that's one. What's another one? Yes. Okay, but I'm thinking about it. That's true, but a picture. A picture of the church. A metaphor for the church. A body. A family.
A building.
Yeah, all of these. I think I can categorize them in four main ways. And they all start with a B. And the first one is a bride. You know that great picture in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then he says, as you get farther down in that fifth chapter of Ephesians, he says this in verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That harkens back to Genesis 2:24, right? The original marriage that God instituted and performed with Adam and Eve. And then he says this, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the church is the bride of Christ, and the symbolism there. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. We are joined as the bride to the bridegroom. The picture is a marital union. The picture that God uses here to describe the local church, we're married to one another. We're married to Christ. It's a marriage, a marital union. Someone else said the body, okay? That's also a great picture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll just read this rather than have you turn to it. You can if you want. But here's the verse. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And he goes on to say that every single part of the human body is necessary. And when we talk about the local church, we are all one body and we're different parts of that body. And each body part is dependent upon the function of the other. We're a body. We're in a marriage and we're a body. We're a bride, we're a body. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, and again, you don't have to turn to it unless you want to, but here's what he says. He says in that chapter that now you are no more strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we're brothers, okay? There's your third B. We're brethren. We are brethren. We are God's children. We are all part of God's family. We're members of the same family. You are born of God if you're a believer, right? You're born from above. You're born of God. As many as received him, they are given the right to be called the sons of God, the children. So we're part of a family. We are brethren. Talking about a local church here. We're a bride, we're a body, we're brethren. Someone else said a building. And that's true as well. For example, I mean, Ephesians 2 talks about a building, also the temple of God. But I think I like this picture of a building in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 5. You also are lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house. You get the idea there. We're a building. And as stones are put on top of another and joined together, the idea is that we are stones, living stones that are joined together to be the place where God lives, to be God's dwelling. So we're a bride, we're a body, we're brethren, and we're a building. Four different pictures that the New Testament shows us how important it is that we hang together, that we're one, that we belong to each other, and we're not to be alone. We're joined one to another. Now, for the rest of our time, mainly, we'll go back to Hebrews chapter 10. This is probably very often the passage that is used when we talk about the fact that we need to think of ourselves as a community. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25, here you get the purpose. We just talked about some pictures of the church being a community project. Well, here you get the purpose of it in these two verses. The main reasons for being a community. There are things that we share mutually. Look at what he says as we pick up in the 24th verse. And let us consider one another. What's the purpose of being in a local church? What's so important about it that we be in community with one another as we are in a local church such as this? Well, the first thing he says is because it's a matter of consideration. Let us consider one another. Really, being in fellowship with God is never, ever selfish. Being in fellowship with God promotes fellowship with one another. Isn't it interesting that the people that God wants to be in spiritual leadership, they have a particular quality or qualification, I should say, given them, and that is that they want to be hospitable. They want fellowship. They want to be with the people of God. They desire that kind of consideration. We should be more concerned. Let us consider one another. More concerned about other believers, our brethren, our brothers in Christ, than we are about ourselves. It's often not that way, sadly, in Christian churches. The emphasis of these verses is that if you are in a local church, you're not there as a consumer, but you're there as a giver. Some of you may not have heard him, but I heard him in his speech actually say this, John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Well, let's just change that a little bit. How about this? Ask not what your church can do for you, but ask what you can do for your church. Not what you can get from others in your church, but how and what you can contribute to others in your church. Consideration. That's the first purpose that we see in this verse. But look at the 24th again. Let us consider one another to provoke. To provoke. Why is it important that we gather together in a local church like this? For consideration, but secondly, for motivation. To provoke or to stimulate. We need each other for regular personal interaction with our brothers and sisters, that we can share truth that positively spiritual impacts them. It's important. That's what a church is about. And we'll see it even more so as we go on here in this passage. Your faithful attendance is commanded. Because look at what he says. Let us consider one another to provoke or to motivate one another unto love and good works. You're commanded to be an encouragement and an encourager and a motivator of the brethren. This is what a local church is about. In fact, one of the strongest motivations for faithful church attendance is given in the next verse. And he says in that verse that we should do so much the more as you see the day approaching. That is, here's the motivation. Jesus is coming any moment, and he's coming soon. And so the purpose of a local church is consideration and its motivation. We are to provoke people in a good sense. We're to be prompters. We're to impact people. We're to share positive truth with them that will impact their lives. And I believe that you can't really do that very well virtually. I believe that God intends us to meet in person regularly. I didn't go for the first shutdown, and I'm not going for any more if they do it again either, because I don't believe that that's biblical. And so I'm telling you, we need this. What we're doing right now, gathering in person like this and doing it regularly, you and I need this. It's consideration, it's motivation, but he says, let us provoke unto love. It's affection. It's that love of Christ. It's letting Christ in you live out his sacrificial, selfless love through you. That you're caring for one another with that kind of love. It's Philippians 2, where Paul says, don't do anything through strife or for vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each believer esteem or value themselves lesser. Let each esteem other better than themselves. And look not on your own things, but rather look on the things of others. We are so focused on our own things every day, all the time. We don't even see and consider the needs of our brothers and our sisters. In so many cases, that's a lack of love. We need to be provoked that way. I'm trying to provoke us tonight to affection, this kind of affection, this kind of love, Christ's selfless, sacrificial love. That's the kind that you're not focused on yourself. You want to love others. You want to bless them. Affection. He's saying, in your local church, you are meant to flesh out Jesus' love to your brothers. That's what it's about. You are to incarnate the love of Christ. And that is a mark, isn't it? Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. What was new about it? I mean, he had told, the Old Testament tells you to love your brother, right? A new commandment I give, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this, all men shall know that you are my disciples. If you have this love for one another, it's a spirit-produced love. It's the Spirit of God that has shed abroad the love of God in our hearts that gets expressed through our hearts and our lives. It's affection. We are to meet for consideration, for motivation, for affection. And then he says, provoke one another not only to love, but unto good works. Good works is really the love in action, I would say. It's the expression of affection. Here's the expression, good works, encouraging one another to please God by serving him faithfully and by doing good. You know, Paul says in Galatians 6 that we're to do good unto all men, and especially to them that are of the household of faith, especially to those in our local church, our brethren. We're to do good especially to them as you have opportunity. And boy, there's a lot of opportunity if you're aware, if you're tuned in, if you're looking. So there's the expression of that affection, which is good works, looking for opportunities to be a blessing to people. You can bless people in all kinds of ways. Through various forms of outreach to the lost, we can be a blessing, or meeting different kinds of needs of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We can do good works. We can express that affection. Now, there's two more that I wanted to close with that aren't in this passage. We're talking about the purpose of a local church, of it being a community and not being a one-man show. Christian life is not lived alone. It's lived in a community. Very clear. I mean, look, Christianity is Jewish, right? That's big in Judaism. A community. That's what it's all about. They have community centers because that's basic Judaism. And it ought to be basic Christianity as well, with Messiah Jesus at the center of it all. But I was thinking about another reason why it's so important that you don't go off on your own and try to be a Christian without the local church. If you're hit and miss in your local church, you are not living the Christian life that you're supposed to. It's really a distorted Christian life. Here's what he says in Acts chapter 20. I'm thinking in verses 28 and 29. Paul has a bunch of the elders from the church at Ephesus. He meets them on at Miletus, I think it is. And he says, men, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, meaning your local church, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Here's another reason for a local church and your faithfulness in it. Consideration, motivation, affection, expression, but also protection. Protection. The kind of protection that you would get from spiritual nourishment, or you're well fed. You can feed yourself, and you better every day in God's word, but you can get extra nutrients by being under the preaching and teaching of God's word faithfully. Your growth is stunted if you think that you can do it on your own. And the fact of the matter is, here he's talking about there are God-appointed spiritual leaders, men that God calls and men that God installs to spiritually lead and watch over God's flock and to protect them from false teachers and warn them when they wander and care for them and then seek to bring them back when they do wander. It's all God's doing. I mean, it's a pretty ingenious plan he's come up with here. And then the last thing is in Ephesians 4. And again, I think you're pretty familiar probably with these verses. But let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, my sixth point of the purpose of us doing what we're doing as a local church and being faithful in our attendance is for consideration and motivation and affection and expression and protection. My last one is edification. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 4. And here's what he says in verse 11 and following. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Why do they have to be perfected? Why do believers need to be perfected? The local church is a place where believers are in the process of being perfected. For what? For the work of the ministry. So that you as a church can do the work of the ministry. Not the pastor, but the people. They're being trained for the work of the ministry. And he says, for what? For the edifying of the body of Christ. It's just as much a responsibility for me to have a part in edifying you as you in edifying one another. And then he says this, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know what a local church needs to do? A local church must be a place that ensures that the people in it will be spiritually built up. They will be spiritually built up not only by the preaching and teaching, but by their interaction with one another. Because remember, we are to provoke one another to love and good works. We are to encourage and provoke one another. And so it's a place of edification. It's the community of the local church is to protect you and enlighten you. And really, when each member of Christ's body is working properly, the body of Christ grows to maturity. And each believer, each one of you, needs to live in an intentional intrusion of being Christ-centered and grace-driven as a community that would foster growth and service to the Lord. For many people, sad to say, church is nothing more than a thing to attend on Sundays. Maybe it's a formal set of activities or a regular scheduled religious offerings, or a place where we enjoy certain kinds of music and we hear sermons. The church is what connects most Christians to worldwide missions, and it provides a wholesome activity for children. But the Bible is clear that the church community is Christians that are living together, intentionally dependent upon the Lord to live out his life through them. And if you are a member of a Bible-believing local church like this one, then you identify as a Bible believer, as a Bible-believing Christian, and you're involved. And it's a luxury. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. You know, some people, they don't like the idea of an official membership. Well, that's how you identify. That's your identifying. That's your identity with this, with the local church. It's important that you have that kind of solid identity. This kind of spiritual community, I believe, the local church is an absolute must. Or Jesus would have never organized it. He would have never established it. He would have never called men like myself and others to plant churches or to pastor churches. The church is an interdependent, webbed together community that is personally focused on Jesus. And it's to express his love and his grace to one another and to everyone else around them. A local church is not a place for people who have it all together. It's really a spiritual family who love God, know that they are needy themselves and that they need each other, and are seeking to help others in their spiritual journey, as well as always desiring to be helped also by their brethren. Let me just close with this illustration. When I was younger, I hunted. And during hunting season, I would go out in the woods. And I remember one particular time I had been hunting, and the sun was starting to set, and I needed to get back to the car, but I lost my way. And you know that feeling? Have you ever been lost in the woods? I mean, when the sun was starting to go down, I began to panic, you know, pray and panic. I didn't want to get stuck there all night, but I try as I might, I couldn't find my way. What would have happened if at that moment I would have stumbled upon a cabin out there in the woods that was lit up, and I would walk up to the door of that cabin, knock on the door, and the door would open and it would be filled with people that would meet whatever need I had for food or drink, and then would tell me exactly the way, the direction that I needed to get back to where I needed to go. You see, that's what a local church is like. Humanity is wandering in darkness. The sun has set. And so humanity is wandering in darkness. And there are a lot of people that would claim to be Christians that are like that. They're in darkness. They're wandering around. They're not connected. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how to live the Christian life. And perhaps some of them are at the point of giving up on the Christian life. They come into a local Bible-believing church where the light's on, where they are enlightened by the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. Their soul's enlightened. They're given direction. They're given life. They find their way. This is how important it is that you and I get serious, if we aren't already, about the community of the local church. because the Christian life is a community project. And any other idea, if you think you can live it off and on with the church, you can take it or leave it, you have an absolute distorted view of the church. And you are dishonoring the Lord, who is the head of the church. That's my heart.